Live and Lansing with Michael Cohen. This is More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
We are back. Michael Cohen, producer Andre Holgate. I want to say congratulations to Robert Johnson. He just got a Proust Pets gift certificate and is in the running for a pair of Sun Country airline tickets for anywhere in the lower 48. Plus, WILS is throwing in $250 spending cash. Please listen for another chance for you to win, and that is going to be coming up. Well, the NAACP holding its annual national convention last week in Houston, one marked by an appearance by Republican presidential candidate Mitt Romney and Vice President Joe Biden to talk about why members of the group booed Mr. Romney and why Mr. Obama was a no-show. I'm joined by Hillary Shelton. He's the NAACP Senior Vice President for Advocacy and the director of the group's Washington Bureau. Hillary, thank you for joining us on WILS.
Well, it's an honor to be with you this evening.
You know, on the whole, it sounds like Mr. Romney was received quite nicely, but when he referenced Obamacare and his opposition to the health care law, he did draw some boos. Did he win any votes by visiting the convention?
Well, I don't know. There were those concerns of the issues, but not just the differences of issues, but quite frankly, the tone and tenor in which the issues were addressed. The NAACP said Republican candidates come before us all the time. We always invite, as a nonpartisan organization, both the Democrats, Republicans, as well as other parties. We've had the Green Party, Independents, and others come and talk to us as long as, you know, they're scoring like 15% in the opinion polls at that time. And so this time it was just the Democrats and the Republicans. You know, the concern wasn't as much the disagreement and issues. There's a standing policy at the NAACP that when we invite people into our convention, we treat as inviting someone into your house. You treat them with the utmost respect. You don't invite them in to disrespect them and so forth. And you want to hear what they have to say. And in this case, of course, we want to hear what both parties or both candidates running for president are thinking about the issues affecting the African-American community. So in this case, there was a concern as Mr. Romney raised the issue of what he referred to as Obamacare and talked about repealing it.
You say it was a matter of tone and tenor. Did you find his tone to be insulting somehow?
Well, I think yes, and I think many of them did. I think they found that him using a term like Obamacare to describe a law that the NAACP held as a priority and as it passed and was signed into law, that at this point has added 7 million more African-Americans to the health care role. As you know, the African-American community is one of the most underrepresented communities in the United States when it comes to having health care insurance.
Right, although Mr. Romney did point out that black families have suffered disproportionately under the Obama presidency, he pointed out that the unemployment rate for African-Americans rose to 14.4% last month, the overall rate just 8.2%. Do you agree that President Obama has not brought this very much-needed employment opportunities to African-Americans?
Well, he certainly hasn't reached the point we'd like him to reach at this point. As you know, at any given time in our society, whether the economy is doing well, and I think most economists would say 4% unemployment is acceptable, or when it's doing very, very poorly. As you know, at one point, the unemployment rate among African-Americans reached almost 17% of the data that was collected. So clearly there's a concern among African Americans about getting good quality jobs. And of course we'd all like to see anyone who wants a job to be able to get one. But I think most African Americans, and certainly those attending the NAACP, I might also say that most of the African Americans that attend the NAACP conventions can be viewed in many ways as almost a microcosm of the African American community. Mm-hmm. You know, roughly 4% of those that attend didn't vote for him, but about 96% of those that attend did. And so, much like the African American community itself, as you know, in 2008, Mr. Obama received 96% of the African American vote.
True, but I guess the question is now, 4 years later, is the feeling that he's done everything that he's promised to do, and are there no second thoughts about another 4 years of President Obama?
You know, I would say of those that we've talked to, and this is not a scientific survey, I think you'd find that most of them believe that he's gotten an awful lot done. They would talk about issues like the Hate Crimes Prevention Act, you know, the Matthew Shepard James Byrd Local Law Enforcement Hate Crime Prevention Act, and how that moves to address, as we were hoping, the victims of hate crimes. And of course, African-Americans, again, only 12.4% of the population, are 70% of all the reported hate crimes are victims. or that did very well to talk about access to colleges and universities. Actually, you know, African Americans are disproportionately poor, and as such are disproportionately underrepresented in college representation and so forth. So, you know, the changes that were made to financial aid, the changes that I think many of us wanted to see happen in the African American community, and certainly the NAACP, strongly supported. So then a number of issues I think you could point to that we've seen a great deal of improvement. And I think to be asked, is there more left to be done? I think most would say, yes, there is.
I'm talking to Hillary Sheldon. He's the NAACP's Senior Vice President for Advocacy and the Director of the group's Washington Bureau. Mitt Romney did get some applause when he said that he would fight to defend traditional marriage. It's clearly something President Obama does not agree with. How do NAACP members look at this issue and the president's position?
Well, I think if you go back, you'll notice that the NAACP's National Board of Directors passed a resolution just a few weeks ago that actually supports what we call marriage equality. And marriage equality, from the NAACP's perspective, is one that says that adult Americans should be able to decide if they want to enter into that series of contracts, rights of attorney, privileges, and other things that make up a legal marriage. And that within that policy position, that religious communities, churches, synagogues, mosques, and others should continue to have the right to decide who they will marry and who they won't.
But don't most African Americans have a very traditional view on marriage and do, in fact, view marriage as between a man, something that happens between a man and a woman?
I think most African Americans take two positions on the issue, and that is recognizing that covenantal commitment that is done by a religious marriage, and divides the issue between religious rights, R-I-T-E-S, and civil rights, R-I-G-H-T-S, and that the laws that govern all those rights, privileges, responsibilities, and other components that legally make up a marriage should be able to be enjoyed by anyone. As a matter of fact, I think many of the NAACP talk about it in the same context of Loving versus Virginia. That Supreme Court decision that struck down the miscegenation policies that were in place that prevented people of different races from being able to marry. And then the promotion wasn't to promote marriage among people of different races, but to say that people of different races should not be prohibited from being able to enter into those contracts. I think very much the same case now.
Let me ask you this. We obviously are on limited time here, but what would you say is the biggest disappointment, in your view, to the president's first 4 years in office, especially when it comes to the issues that are central to Black America?
Well, I think that the biggest challenge, quite frankly, is the challenge with explaining what's being done for different demographics within our society. That if we look at the major victories that have taken place, we mentioned hate crimes and mentioned issues to try to help bail out those whose houses have been found to be underwater, those issues around education, the support for health care, adding more Americans to the health care rolls. Out of the 47 million, we had 30 million, 30% were African Americans with no health care insurance, and all the issues important to us. But there was one disappointment. It would probably be the administration's struggle to express the great victories that it has provided in terms of each of the demographics.
But tell me this, what about the urban situations in our country? Certainly Detroit is an example of a struggling urban city or urban environment. Do you think the president has really addressed these very important issues directly?
I think there's much more to be done. But if you talk about places like urban Detroit, one of the things I think many African Americans, and certainly those at the NAACP recognize, is what this administration did to actually bail out the automobile industry. Because so many of the people that live in the Detroit area are benefit from the automobile industry at one level or layer or the other, that certainly the automobile industry becomes absolutely a pinnacle to the issues and challenges of those communities. And as such, they'd be much worse off if the automobile industry was allowed to go down the tubes, as so many others wanted to.
What about what's happened since Republicans were swept into Congress and the stalemate we've seen? I mean, what is that going to mean if President Obama is reelected and Republicans hold control of Congress? Aren't you concerned about this continuing stalemate? And do you think at some point the president should maybe shift his position to find some compromise?
Well, I think we would all like to see a more effective Congress and the laws being able to be reflective of the real needs and challenges of our community. And certainly we'd love to see much more compromise between the White House, the House, and the Senate in a manner in which we can actually address the real issues of the people. And certainly we'd like to see many of these very crucial issues rise above the point of petty party politic, that kind of partisan politics we too often see that ends up creating those log jams and not allow us to address the real needs of the American people.
Well, you know, it seems that one of the things that really gets the core of it is this feeling that even the example of this health care law, it's another form of these of an entitlement program. At what point do you think, and does the NAACP view the government's role in helping citizens versus citizens, you know, taking responsibility for themselves and not relying on government programs, and especially when it comes to the African-American community?
I think most people see the government as a product of the people. We live in a democracy in which our government should reflect our values and address our needs. So very well, we all contribute to the government by paying taxes, sales taxes, employment taxes, small business taxes, and everything else that we end up paying into the system. And that's such that system should be crafted to provide real support and assistance to our communities as well, where we need them, that safety net when necessary, and all the other issues. So certainly, we believe everyone has a role to play and a responsibility, including the government.
What is right now the number one issue, challenge, problem that Black America is facing?
Well, certainly, you'd have to talk about the economy. Without jobs, and as you know, we have a disproportionately high number of African Americans that are unemployed, as I mentioned earlier, on any given day, regardless of where the overall unemployment rate is, it's usually about twice that for the African American community. So we need good living wage jobs so that people can take care of their families, pay their taxes, and make sure that children have real opportunities in society to go on to colleges and universities and so forth and so on. But we also have to have health care. You know, anytime we have the experiences that we've heard noted where, you know, here in just outside of Washington, 12-year-old kid, the insurance, this is before the Affordable Care Act was passed, 12-year-old kid couldn't get a tooth extraction, end up having a toothache that turned into an infection that actually led up to his brain and killed him. That is embarrassing, outrageous. It is horrific that those kind of things would happen in our society today. So certainly, our government needs to be much more responsive to the real needs of the American people and recognize that one size doesn't fit all.
And this election year, President Obama, you're saying, will likely once again get this 95% of the Black vote?
Well, I said I don't see anything that would turn the African-American community away from the votes they cast in 2008. That very well there's been a lot that has moved forward and some very heavy lifting. Whether you agree or disagree, I don't think there's anyone that would say that this massive change in our health care system is a small to-do. I don't think there's anyone that would say that increasing funds for Pell Grants and decreasing interest rates and origination fees for student loans is a small deal.
Right. Well, it's certainly it's an expensive deal also, and I guess that's the other side of the issue is the concerns that this is a massive tax increase and it could have some consequences that we're not foreseeing yet.
Well, and I think everyone's looking at it from their own lens and their own perspective. It is important that we find a way to be more empathetic in our society and think about the real challenges of poor people. When Mr. Romney came to the NAACP, I think that if he hadn't said it the way he said it, I think people would have still been concerned that he talked about stripping away the Health Care Reform Act. Again, it's already added 7 million more African Americans to the health care rolls. But not talk about the better plan. We had 47 million Americans with no health care insurance when it was passed. If you repealed it back, there'd be at least 47 million Americans with no health care insurance, and nobody in the White House saying, what shall we do to fix this problem?
I see. Safe to say that when Mr. Romney left, you didn't hear anyone say, I'm going to vote for that guy.
I can't say I heard that, but I think it was very important that we all got a chance to hear from Mr. Romney. That was the most important thing. Mr. Romney talking about what he would do to help address real issues, challenges, and goals of the African-American community as well.
Hillary Shelton, NAACP Senior Vice President for Advocacy, Director of the group's Washington Bureau. Hillary, thank you so much for joining us on WILS this evening.
Oh, it's a real honor to be with you. Thank you for having me.
We will be right back to talk about how this incredibly hot weather, getting up to 100 degrees tomorrow, is affecting one of our major cash crops in the state. The next 2 weeks are critical. We need rain. Doesn't look like we're getting it next couple days at least, but we'll talk about that next. Michael Cohen, 1320 WILS.